Welcome to the Film on the Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:07 British Summer Time. Today is June 1st. Today we've had a really rather mixed day with Asia coming in rather weak. The Nikkei had pared its loss and finished down on the day just over half of 1%. But the Indonesian market, for example, having rallied really very emphatically last week, gave up a little bit of that advance in here today. The Indian market was down about 2%. The Chinese market was also down, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down just over 1 1/3%. European markets opened down, most of them down over 2%, but pared that loss and closed with only minor losses. The Spanish IBEX, I think, it'd be down more than 2 or 3% at one point, but closed down less than 2/3 of 1%. And the U.S. markets opened weaker, but actually moved into positive territory for a brief period and then gave up the entire advance in the last 20 minutes of trading. So the Dow Jones is finishing down on the day 1.1%, the S&P down 1.7%, the Nasdaq down 1.5%. The Brazilian market's down just less than 2%, and the Mexican market is down just over 2%. Canadian market's down 1 2/3%. Elsewhere, the industrial metal complex also came under pressure in here today, particularly the nickel market, which has been ranging above this 20,000 area for at least 6 weeks now and pulled back to 20,500 in here today. So it's really coming back here to an important area of potential support, which is the psychological 20,000 level and the 200-day moving average. And it really does need to find support in no uncertain terms here, and an upward dynamic would certainly make the bullish case that bit more credible. When we look across the entire sector, copper and aluminium have relatively similar charts and are back at potential areas of support with nickel. But zinc and lead are the laggards in here, and lead in particular is in what shows all the signs of a medium-term correction and downtrend, and it really has sustained quite considerable technical damage, in which case it really does need to rally in no uncertain terms to attract some buyers back into that market. The oil market, having rallied really very impressively last week, gave up some of that advance and finished out the day at 72.20. Natural gas continues to hold above the $4 level and has been ranging in the region of $4 for much of the last month and a bit. Elsewhere, the gold market continues to edge back up towards the high in the region of $1,250, and today was up just less than $10 at $1,225. And the other precious metals were also relatively steady in here, with palladium down just $4 and platinum pretty much flat on the day. In the currency markets, the pound has had a rather good day in here today. It was up over a full cent against the US dollar and broke out against the euro. I think it hit the 1 euro 20 area against the euro in here today, and that's the first time it's seen 1.20 since December 2008. It's not so long ago that people were talking about the demise of the pound, and it just goes to show that there are advantages to getting your devaluation in first. The UK economy has certainly benefited from the weakness of sterling over the last almost 2 years, and I don't imagine that its recent strength has very much to do with any particular strength in the UK economy, but rather that the comparison to the Eurozone is flattering it rather. Also, against the Australian dollar, the pound found support in the area of $1.70. That's the first high reaction low in quite a considerable period, so we are starting to see that the pound is bottoming out. And that does give the lie to the remarkably bearish sentiment that's been exhibited towards the currency, most particularly by politicians or political parties with an interest in getting single-party government before the election. But the currency has borne up really rather well, and the technical action is starting to fill in behind it. It was also stronger against the Swiss franc, and is while still really quite weak against the US dollar, that's not a particular case to or that's not a case particular to the pound. So it is looking rather better for the pound in comparative terms here, and of course the currency markets are always a story of two stories coming together. Elsewhere, in the government bond markets, just about all of the government bonds were a bit stronger in here today, but US Treasuries have held in the region of 123 and haven't given up much of their advance, although they were a bit weaker into the end of last week. So we remain in this extremely anxious period where, for investors that want to worry, there are really any number of things to worry about. And the sentiment towards markets is really at quite an extreme level. People are very anxious indeed. But when we look at the charts, we saw that most of these indices bounced last week, and I haven't seen anything yet that has moved to a new reaction low. So while we've had just about everything has pulled back sharply from its April high, and some have found support in the region of their 200-day moving averages, and others have found support in the region of their February lows, and some of them have found support even below those levels, we have seen a rather concerted overextension or oversold condition developing and beginning to be unwound to a certain extent. Now, certainly this is at least a short-term low. Whether it's a medium-term low or a low for this correction is impossible to say at this juncture. So people do remain very anxious, and today's weakness does suggest that we are going to have more rock and roll. Even if this were the bottom for the correction, it remains unlikely that we're going to see markets race straight back up to their highs in a manner similar to what we saw following the February bottom, because there are that many more things to worry about, and investor confidence has been shaken even more because the reaction has been faster and larger in a number of cases. And at the very least, it's a major inconsistency. What had been remarkably consistent advances from March 2009 all the way through to, in most cases, at least October, and from October, probably a little bit less consistent because we saw a broad loss of momentum. But now we've had a bigger reaction as well, and in a lot of cases, we've seen that indices have pulled back into previous ranges. So these are. This is a clear indication that the imbalance between supply and demand has decreased, in which case we're probably in for a bit more ranging. And this is a highly uncertain time, in which case it's going to be a little bit more difficult to make money, and we're much more into a trading type of environment. I'm keeping a very close eye on some of these on these currency indices, particularly for some of the emerging markets, because just like we saw that so many of these markets found at least short-term support last week, the same thing happened with indices such as the Asian Dollar Index and the Latin America Dollar Index, and they also gave up part of the last week's rally in here today. And if they were to take out their recent low, so last week's low, that would suggest that not only are the currencies, sorry, not only are the stock markets themselves coming under pressure, but the currencies as well, which would be an indication that investors are taking some of their money home, and that would be a broad suggestion that we could be moving into a lengthier or a deeper type of correction. So I'm watching those currency indices very closely because the correlations between the strength of the respective currency compared to an emerging market has been so remarkable over the last year that a breakdown in one really is a warning shot for the other, and the currency market has been the better signal, and it was certainly a lead indicator back in 2008, and so I'm certainly keeping an eye on them. In the precious metal markets, we have gold pushing back up towards this $1,250 level, and provided stock markets do move into this sort of ranging consolidation, that's broadly positive for gold because it'll have less competition. It's unlikely to hold up, or it's unlikely to be able to sustain moves to new high ground. I think would be more accurate if we do see a much larger correction in some of these stock markets, because it won't benefit in that way. From the safe haven trade, we certainly saw evidence that provided stock markets are relatively steady, but not surging, then gold is the kind of environment where gold will attract more interest. The platinum and palladium markets have both also found short-term support, having experienced really very violent reactions, and they're more high risk now. This is a much larger reaction, and the chances of them getting back up towards their highs in sharp order have diminished really quite considerably given the technical damage done. And the dollar remains really very steady, particularly against the euro, but against a large number of other currencies as well. And that is broadly positive for Wall Street, and in that it is also being viewed as a safe haven, and it certainly has been a safe haven when you compare it to the performance of a large number of other markets. So I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.